You're listening to an African Elements top news story for July 7, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Who controls classrooms? The California school governance shift. Public school systems in the United States face continuous debates over who should direct the path of education. In California, this debate has reached a historic turning point. In late June 2026, Governor Gavin Newsom signed a monumental state budget. Tucked inside a budget trailer bill known as Assembly Bill 181, the legislation rewrites the rules of school leadership. It transfers the daily administrative control of the California Department of Education to a new, governor-appointed education commissioner. This move effectively strips executive power from the state superintendent of public instruction, a role that voters have elected since 1849. Supporters argue the change brings needed accountability, while critics call it an undemocratic consolidation of executive power. Understanding this shift requires looking closely at how state-centered political power operates in the Golden State. To understand why California lawmakers altered school leadership, one must examine the state's educational foundations. When the state drafted its original constitution in 1849, it established the state superintendent of public instruction as an independent, elected officer. The authors of the Constitution envisioned the role as a nonpartisan champion for children. However, a major structural split occurred in 1912. A constitutional amendment gave the governor power to appoint a lay state board of education. This division instantly created what historians call a double-headed system of governance. The governor-appointed board had the power to set state educational policies. Meanwhile, the voter-elected superintendent was expected to implement those policies as the administrative head of the department. This structural friction quickly became a source of political tension. In 1920, a legislative study known as the Jones Report warned that this split authority was transitional and dangerous. The report explicitly cautioned that an antagonistic superintendent could easily challenge the state board, halting progress for public school classrooms. For over a century, political leaders and policy experts recognized the structural flaws of this divided authority. Yet, every attempt to ask California voters to change the system failed. Voters rejected ballot measures to eliminate the elected superintendent role in 1928, 1934, and 1958. Even during highly polarized times in 1968, voters defeated Proposition 1, which would have let the legislature reform the office. Later proposals in 1996 and 2023 also failed to change the constitutional status of the office. Because the superintendent is a constitutionally mandated position, completely abolishing the role requires voter approval. By utilizing a budget trailer bill to strip the duties of the office rather than eliminating the office itself, the governor bypassed the need for a ballot measure. This strategy allowed lawmakers to enact a sweeping governance shift without asking voters for approval. This legislative maneuver affects how communities exercise Black political strategy to influence educational policy. The theoretical warnings of the 1920 Jones Report became a reality in the late 1980s and early 1990s. Bill Honig, a popular reformer elected as state superintendent in 1982, clashed repeatedly with the governor-appointed State Board of Education. Their disputes centered on curriculum guidelines, department budgets, and staff appointments. The relationship deteriorated to the point where the board sued its own superintendent to force compliance with its decisions. In the landmark 1993 ruling State Board of Education versus Honig, the California Court of Appeal clarified the hierarchy. The court ruled that while the superintendent has executive duties, the state board remains the ultimate governing and policy-determining body. The court confirmed that the superintendent has a ministerial duty to execute the policies of the board. Although the ruling legally resolved the hierarchy, it did not cure the systemic friction that continued to affect state education leadership. Despite the Honig decision, policy experts continued to argue that educational leadership in Sacramento remained dysfunctional. In 2007, a series of studies called Getting Down to Facts described the state's governance structure as a crazy quilt of interacting authorities. Because authority was shared among the governor, the legislature, the board, and the superintendent, no single leader could be held accountable for poor educational outcomes. The immediate catalyst for the 2026 overhaul was a report published by Policy Analysis for California Education in late 2025. The report detailed how the split system continued to blur responsibility. Governor Newsom used these findings as a blueprint for his January 2026 budget proposal. By late June, legislative leaders negotiated the final details, embedding the sweeping policy overhaul directly into Assembly Bill 181. Assembly Bill 181 drastically alters the balance of power within California Educational Administration. Starting January 15, 2027, all administrative and executive functions of the department will transfer to an education commissioner. The governor will appoint this commissioner, subject to confirmation by the state senate. This official will oversee daily operations, department staff, state contracts, and programs, reporting directly to the governor and the state board. Meanwhile, the elected state superintendent remains in office, but loses direct administrative authority over the department and its employees. Instead, the superintendent will serve as an independent evaluator, reviewing major state educational initiatives. To compensate for the loss of administrative control, the law makes the superintendent a voting member of the State Board of Education and the BETHA Community College's Board of Governors. The timing and execution of this governance shift have raised serious concerns among advocates of diversity and leadership. Tony Thurmond, the 28th state superintendent, was sworn into office in January 2019. He holds historic significance as California's first Afro-Latino and second African-American state superintendent. Raised in poverty by extended family, Thurmond worked as a social worker and public servant before leading the state's schools. Thurmond used his background to advocate for policies that support disadvantaged and marginalized youth. Under Assembly Bill 181, this historic office loses its primary executive authority just as Thurmond's term ends in January 2027. Many critics argue that weakening the power of the elected superintendent represents a step backward for minority representation. It reduces the influence of a statewide office that has historically championed racial equity and social support programs. Statewide elections for educational leadership have historically functioned as a vital democratic tool. These elections allow Black, Latino, and marginalized communities to build powerful voting coalitions and hold state leaders directly accountable. Removing direct executive voting capability concentrates authority within the governor's office, shielding administrative leadership from voter pressure. This shift isolates state education administrators from direct grassroots lobbying. Assemblymember Tina McKinner, a member of the California Legislative Black Caucus, raised alarms about the reform. She abstained from voting on Assembly Bill 181, warning that concentrating executive authority in the governor's office undermines vital constitutional checks and balances. Local school board leaders also criticized the budget trailer bill process, calling the rapid change undemocratic and closed to public debate. These governance changes occur alongside ongoing state-level discussions, such as efforts for racial justice in California. The debate over who runs California schools comes at a time of deep concern over academic performance. Currently, more than half of the state's public school students do not meet state English language arts standards. Furthermore, nearly two-thirds of students fall short of mathematics standards. These lagging proficiency rates are especially severe among Black and Latino students, exposing deep inequalities in public education across the state. Rather than representing simple student failure, these poor educational outcomes are directly linked to systemic resource inequities. Districts serving majority minority, low-income, foster, and homeless youth suffer from high teacher turnover, inadequate facilities, and unequal discipline practices. Opponents of Assembly Bill 181 argue that restructuring the state organizational chart does not address these foundational inequities. They point out that changing the leadership structure does not guarantee new funding or support for struggling classrooms. Despite governance disputes, California has advanced major equity programs within its TK-12 system. The term TK-12 refers to transitional kindergarten through 12th grade. Transitional kindergarten serves as a developmental bridge for four-year-olds before they enter traditional kindergarten. The state has committed billions of dollars to scale up this early childhood education initiative. Universal TK serves as a critical equity strategy aimed at closing the early opportunity gap. By providing free, high-quality early education, TK helps level the playing field for low-income, immigrant, and multilingual families who cannot afford private preschool. Proponents of Assembly Bill 181 argue that a centralized governance structure will make it easier to execute massive statewide programs like Universal TK. They believe a single line of authority under the governor will streamline implementation across the state's 1,000 school districts. The passage of Assembly Bill 181 has drawn clear battle lines across the state's political and educational landscapes. Mainstream educational equity organizations, such as Children Now and EdVoice, supported the reforms. they argue that aligning the department under the state board removes bureaucratic hurdles and helps marginalized children. In their view, consolidated executive control ensures that educational policies can be executed quickly and effectively. Conversely, the California Teachers Association and current superintendent Tony Thurmond strongly oppose the measure. They assert that transferring authority away from an independently elected constitutional officer weakens public accountability. The major candidates running to succeed Thurmond also criticized the reform, calling the rapid legislative process an undemocratic power grab. They argue that an independent, elected superintendent is a vital check against partisan gubernatorial control of public education. The transition to a governor-appointed education commissioner represents a historic experiment in public school governance. By centralizing authority, California hopes to replace a fragmented system with a unified administration. Supporters promise that this clear line of accountability will finally address long-standing academic gaps and improve outcomes for 6 million students. However, critics remain skeptical that reshuffling the state leadership hierarchy will lead to actual classroom improvements. For local communities, the true test of this reform will be measured by its ability to deliver resources and close equity gaps in struggling neighborhoods. Whether this centralized model will fulfill its promises of efficiency or simply reduce democratic oversight remains a critical question for the core future of California public education. Copyright African Elements.